This program contains adult content.
Is there a God?
A big atheist.
Really?
What, am I an idiot? Come on.
That yes, it would be nice if you could throw your sins and your responsibilities on someone else. But it's not true.
It looks like far left lunacy.
I don't believe that it's true that religion is moral or ethical.
You don't need to follow anybody!
It's not human intelligence!
If someone doesn't value logical consistency, what logical argument are you going to give them that will demonstrate that they should?
Hello and welcome to The Godless Revolution. Today is April 15th. This is episode 421. My name is Dan Ellis. And I'm joined by two awesome co-hosts, Mr. Ryan Duffy.
Oh, yes.
And Mr. Taylor Grin.
Oh, no.
And I think I may have gotten the intro a little bit. I think I may have mixed that up a little bit this time because it's been a month since we recorded last. There's been a bunch of stuff going on. I was in training 1 week. I was on vacation for 2 other weeks and something. Oh, and then I just got hung up with work the other week, I think. So sorry, everybody. Life moves. Quickly
in mysterious ways,
random directions all the time. What's been new with you guys over the last month? Let's start with you, Mr. Duffy.
Not a whole lot. I mean, I'm forgetting what the last month was. I built a bunch of puzzles, the same one over and over and over and over again.
Why the same one over and over and over again?
It's for an event. Then I got other ones I made over and over again for another thing I still got to put in the mailbox.
Like somebody commissioned you to make puzzle boxes for an event?
Yeah, so it was Brian Higgins again. Wanted some smaller puzzle boxes for his Create Real Change events where it deals with mental health. And it combines mental health and film together in one thing.
Oh, nice.
So I met him doing film contests. Oh. So I made a bunch of those and then just fucking work.
Yeah.
Like I think today I went to, I was home Wednesday, then I went to work and I just got home about 2-3 hours ago. Got home right around 1 o'clock.
And oh, so did you actually work today?
It's Monday. No. So I was helping Twilla City Fire Department with their 3D printer. They broke that. I helped them set up.
And
so I went there to kind of give them another class and reorientation, like, this is what you don't do that you did, because what you did is what you don't do.
Mm-hmm. Let me break it down for y'all. This is shit that you need to stop doing in the future.
Yeah, this makes things go quick.
I've got a soldier who works at the desk next to mine, and he's got a 3D printer in his barracks, and he forgot to make his like 3D model hollow on the inside.
Okay. Oh, so,
and so he went through like a whole spool of whatever the material is. Yeah.
Yeah. This was he printed a toy off an SD card that came with it and didn't realize the filament he had loaded into it was a different type of filament.
Yikes.
That required way hotter temperatures to work correctly. So it just printed a giant glob of not actually melted 3D filament around the nozzle.
The nozzle?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Do not stare directly at the nozzle.
Unless it's totally obscured.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. Well, they're nice that, I'm sure they're happy that you are nice enough to stop by and help them with that.
He kept saying this because their IT guy was fucking stuff. Because like, I'm so glad. I'm like, hey, I appreciate your time. Like, I'm so sorry about this. I'm sorry about this. And even he called the IT guy, like, we got a guy here that specifically came here on his way home from work and he's helping us fix this shit. They were having trouble connecting to the internet again because the guy changed the Wi-Fi. So I gave him a demonstration on how to fix and work everything, and they were very happy.
So how did you come to set up their thing in the first place?
So working at Dugway, a lot of the guys there also work for that city department, like volunteer or work out there. So they just were like, hey, this guy knows a lot about 3D printers. And we had a weird gee whiz question because they can't get PAR tags printed anymore, which PAR tags are little tags we have like underneath their helmets. They're in the trucks. When you go on a call, you take that little tag and you stick it on a command board. So that command board, they can move your name around
to know,
where you are and what you're doing. So if something happens,
they can call for PAR,
like, hey, where are you? Like if you call for PAR and that person doesn't call back, like, hey, that team's in trouble because we didn't get a response from them. And
then your PAR turns into a bogey.
That's also where you probably heard of them calling, like you call in a mayday. You probably heard it with aircrafts or whatever, but we have the same thing where if you're in trouble, you call a mayday and they can check on the PAR board. Who are you? What team are you with? What was your task? What was your job? Where are you supposed to be at in the structure? And they can start sending people in to come rescue you and get you out.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Anything else?
That's all I can think of. My brain has been mush.
Yeah. It happens to all of us as we age.
Fuck yeah.
I like to think that it does anyway.
It does.
That it's not just me.
It's like a banana. You leave it on the countertop too long, it gets brown and mushy.
Uh-huh. How about you, Mr. Grin? What you been up to for the last month?
Oh, my God. Work, a lot of work. I don't know. The girlfriend and I watched the entire series, 64 episodes of Full Metal Alchemist, which is one of the very few anime that I ever really enjoyed. For the like three listeners who are going to be really pedantic, it's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, the like one that was the entire comic series, not the first one, which quit halfway through the comic while it's still being written. But yeah, it was an absolute blast. Spring has happened here. Also, we had some sort of weird like anti-cyclone or something like that, because this weekend it was like 30 fucking degrees. I don't know what that translates to in freedom units.
Yes, we need to translate that. What is that? 30?
Oh, you're talking 30 degrees Celsius? That's fucking hot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, it was fucking hot as shit. Yeah. So it is. Hang on. Let me convert this shit right now. It's 17 degrees Celsius, which translates to 63 degrees Fahrenheit. So
30 Celsius is 86. So that's pretty warm.
Yeah. In fucking April, we must have had like an anti-cyclone, like bringing warm air up from Africa or something like that. I like turned on the air conditioner, closed all the windows so that it was dark, like sweating my balls off. Couldn't sleep all Saturday night. Like it was fucking rough. Yeah. Well,
yeah. I left for work Thursday morning at 5 a.m. and it was like 50 degrees out. I left work this morning at 8 a.m. and it was snowing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We went through a wild temperature swing.
Yeah. Holy shit. Apparently. That's interesting because we're having the same thing. Like it was 30 yesterday, 25 today, and it will be like 14 tomorrow.
Oof. Yeah. Apparently, the weather was nice here while I was away, and then I got back and the weather turned to shit. So
Sarah, you're welcome, Utah. Planting flowers in the front yesterday because it was so nice out, and today, well, yikes. I was also at a higher elevation where it was snowing, but it's just been raining here at home all day. Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, kind of crazy nuts. So yeah, I was gone for 2 weeks. We had a very long road trip, with the destination. Well, our destination was for the eclipse, we went to Texas to view it, and along the way and on the way home, like an all round trip, we stopped by six different national parks, stopped at a bunch of different sightseeing touristy things along the way, stayed at a bunch of different hotels, one motel that was kind of cool and fun.
Hotel motel.
we stayed a night in Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah. We went to the Alien Museum and a bunch of other alien-related things around there. Actually, I'm sure there are things in Roswell that don't try to relate themselves or tie themselves to aliens or UFOs or some of that. Well, but, like, everything there has a picture of an alien or a spaceship on it. Like, everything. The banks there have, like, on their signs, they'll have a flying saucer with a little green alien inside it on the sign at the bank. Like, fucking everything there is related to aliens.
I wanted to go to that alien museum, but the day I drove through Roswell, it was closed.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know.
It's just, I don't, the alien thing is just, it's so ridiculous to me. Like it's fun. And when I was younger, I was like, oh yeah, of course there are aliens and they visited and they've abducted people. I read, was it Whitley Strieber's book on his supposed abduction and repeated visitations and multiple abductions over the course of his life is what he's tried to convince people of. I loved the X-Files when I was younger. That was one of the coolest shows.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Ever since becoming a better skeptic, it's like, yeah, no. I'm sure there are alien life forms elsewhere in the universe, but I don't believe that any of them have traveled here, have visited, or are doing so on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. I love aliens as like a sort of 21st century ghost story, but for nothing more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
no.
It's fun to talk about, but yeah.
Well, you keep going with your story because I know you got more to say.
I was just going to say, the Roswell thing was cool. We stopped by and saw the world's largest pistachio sculpture or monument kind of thing.
Did you bite it?
I didn't bite it. Uh-huh. We did buy a lot of pistachios while we were there. They had all different kinds of flavors and stuff. I think we spent a little over $100 just on pistachios while we were there. We drove a lot. A lot. Let's see. One day we drove for almost 5 hours. The next day was 11 hours on the road. And then another 5 hours. And then these are just like from where we are to our destination. And then once we get there, there's also driving around the parks and all of that kind of stuff. But
why didn't you just take high speed train to these places?
Oh, this is America, right? Taylor. Yeah. We don't have that yet.
Yeah, but I mean, we stopped.
They're like Ryanair. They're like a $20 ticket.
I am afraid to fly them ever again.
We stopped in, so the six parks we visited were the Petrified Forest, White Sands, Carlsbad Caverns, Guadalupe Mountains, Big Bend, and Mesa Verde. And all of them were spectacular. I bought a America the Beautiful pass, which for, I think it was $80, allows me and my traveling companions to visit all national parks across the U.S., for an entire year rather than paying, for each individual park pass. Mm-hmm. And we've got another trip scheduled for later in the year. But
did you stop in Hatch, New Mexico at all?
Yes. I want to say
for some Hatch chilies.
Oh no, we didn't actually stop in Hatch, but, just outside of Hatch. It was 10 miles outside of Hatch. And
because when we were down there at White Sands, we stopped at Hatch, New Mexico, just for get some Hatch chilies.
Oh yeah. Well, and of course, like the new New Mexico plates it's like Land of the Chilies or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's got a picture of a couple chilies. And I mean, the Mexican food there is fucking phenomenal. So good everywhere we went. Like, we did not have any bad Mexican food while we were out. And that's primarily what we had because it's my favorite. And it's also the most prevalent in that area. But yeah, tons of great food. The first night out, we stayed at the Atomic Blue Motor Inn.
Okay.
Which is a little motel. But it's been all redone. And it's like mid-century modern decor everywhere. just very kind of kitschy, but also just kind of cool. Neat. It was a cool little motel. I liked it a lot. We didn't really stay anywhere else of note other than the Holiday Inn in Roswell, and that's more just because of the location than anything else. But all the hotels were fine and good.
They didn't have like a themed alien hotel there?
I'm sure they do.
Like a flying saucer hotel?
I'm sure they do.
Opportunity, Roswell. Judgment. Well,
yeah.
When I was in Socorro, we stopped at a bar that apparently all of the atomic bomb people used to go to.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
And it actually, them, like some astronauts who used to go there. So they had all the pictures of like the people from that time frame that used to go into that bar. Now, when you went into that town, you would think it was a ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would look dead as fuck. Like you wouldn't be caught dead there. Nowhere near a highway. It was actually near one of the gates to White Sands Missile Range.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we did actually drive through a couple different ghost towns. And it's weird, like, just seeing all of this infrastructure and buildings around that nobody occupies, nobody does anything with. They're just empty. Like,
yeah.
Aside from, I'm sure, vandals going in or people squatting there occasionally. But, like, just an entire town where nobody lives anymore. Just gone. Work dried up. Something changed. And, yeah, it's just this bit of town where nobody else is. We did stop at this like little bar place. And I'm trying to think, it was on our way to Carlsbad. It was either on our way to Carlsbad or after we left Carlsbad on our way to somewhere else. And we stopped for lunch. And it was like on the exterior, they said, bikers welcome. And,
but then, not us.
Oh, but then inside it was just like, every bit of Americana kitsch that you could imagine was in there. Like they had old cigarette machines. They had, you know, all kinds of just like jingoistic American shit everywhere. Like everything was red, white, and blue. Honky tonk country stuff. The food was really good. But also there were a few motorcycle gang members in there when we were there, like, and I'm trying to remember
Vagos. I
mean, it's a Spanish sounding name, and I can't think of what it is.
The first Hispanic motorcycle gang thing was the Vagos,
wasn't them.
The most
apparently we looked it up when we were there, and there was like they're the largest or second largest motorcycle club in the U.S. And they're considered a criminal organization. I can't, let me see. Motorcycle gangs in U.S.
I was like, if you would have went by Fort Sumter in New Mexico, you could have seen Billy the Kid's grave.
There's the Outlaws, the Pagans. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't Baca. It wasn't Iron Order. Mongols, no.
Wait, Baca's considered
Baca,
a gang?
Baca shouldn't be a gang.
Maybe it was the Bandidos.
Oh, I forgot about them. Yeah. They're the ones that had the shootout with the Hells Angels at that bar.
I think it was the Bandidos that were there in the bar where we were. And I thought, oh, Bandidos, that sounds fun. And then then we looked them up and I was like, oh, they're not really that much fun. No. they're more scary than fun. So
they're more hide meth in your gas tank and run across the border fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. I did get two speeding tickets. I actually got pulled over three times. The first time I just got a warning, and then I got a couple different speeding tickets following.
Second and third time, they realized that wasn't enough.
Well, I got a warning in New Mexico, and then we drove into Texas, and I ended up getting a speeding ticket in Texas, and then on our way home.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? People go like 500 fucking miles per hour in Texas. How did you get a speeding ticket in Texas?
Dude, and it was, and I was going exactly 10 miles an hour over the limit when the cop caught me. And it wasn't like,
well, here's the thing. You're in Texas.
Uh-huh.
What do your license plates say?
Well, when he got me on radar, he wouldn't have been able to see my plate. Maybe that was part of the problem too. I don't know if Texas is a state where you have to have a front plate, but I don't. And
I don't, Utah is a state where you need one, and I don't have one.
But it's only a secondary offense. Like, they have to pull you over, or you have to have done something else for that to then be an addition. And they're working on getting rid of that, I think, this legislative session that will be going away entirely. Okay. But, yeah, it was, you know, most of the roads we took, because we're taking scenic byways, they were mostly just two-lane highways with, you know, hashed lines every now and then for you to pass. And every now and then they'll throw in an extra lane on one side just so you can pass a bunch of vehicles. And it was in a spot where we were going uphill, dashed line. I was behind a guy towing a trailer and some other people that were going slowly. And so I swung out, went past him going up a hill, get to the crest of the hill, and we're just coming down the hill, and a Texas state trooper heading the other direction got me on radar. And I mean, it was as I was slowing down, so that's good. And it was exactly 10 miles an hour over. And, you know, when I saw him, I thought, oh shit, how fast am I going? And is he going to do anything? And I looked down and I was doing 85 and a 75. And that's what he wrote it up as. But like, he didn't ask me about any circumstances, nothing, just, you know. And as soon as he passed us going the other way, I thought, oh shit, well, he could pull me over. So then we're going down the road. I'd probably gone another 10 miles or so. And I see him come flying up the road with his lights on. And I was like, I'm sure it's for me. I'm going to make it easy on him. And I just pulled over immediately, put my hazards on and waited for him to pull up behind me. And he did. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe he'll view that as a courtesy and that I'm not trying to outrun him or whatever. And he'll just be a nice guy. And instead, no, it was, I'm guessing that he caught me on his radar and then, you know, turned around, was going to just check and see whatever. And then as soon as he pulled up behind me and saw that I had atheist plates, it was like, oh, I'm giving this fucker a ticket. No warning for this asshole.
This is Natalie Newell of Science Moms and the Parenthetical Science Podcast. You are listening to The Godless Revolution.
Do you give people who make this case that that was the beginning and that there had to be something that provoked the beginning? Do you give them an A, at least, for trying to reconcile faith and reason?
I don't think they're reconcilable.
What do you mean?
Well, so let me say that differently. All efforts that have been invested by brilliant people of the past have failed at that exercise. They just fail. And so the track record is so poor that going forward, I have essentially zero confidence, near zero confidence, that there will be fruitful things to emerge from the effort to reconcile it.
Thank you to everybody who has rated the show on iTunes and Stitcher and are following us on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And to all our Patreon patrons, you make the show possible.
Yeah, and then the New Mexico one, that was one of those instances where, again, because we're taking all the scenic byways, the limit changes so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, my navigation told me one thing, Google was telling me another speed, and I tried to split the difference, and then I was going too fast. And I was going I usually go 5 to 10 miles an hour over the limit everywhere I go anyway. And so they can give me a ticket, just most officers do not for somebody that's only doing that much over. So, yeah, I've got a call about those, but I don't have my car now because a few weeks ago, shit, it's been more than a month ago now. I think it was just after we recorded, I had a Saturday tournament and was at the golf course. It was super fucking windy. They ended up canceling the tournament. They canceled it because it was so windy. Like, it was blowing golf balls off of the greens. We couldn't keep our, it was so fucking windy, like sustained winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour with gusts up to like 80, I think, in some spots.
Yeah, that's when my fence fell over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that same storm. And we're out trying to play golf in it. And seriously, like, swear to God, you could not keep your ball on the green. Like, you would set it down and the wind would just blow it off of the green. There was no way. Like, that's ultimately why they ended up canceling the tournament, was just because you were either faced with, I have to break the rules and actually physically stop my ball, or I'm just going to have to keep putting from 30 to 60 feet away and hope that eventually one of them goes in the hole. So yeah, they ended up canceling. But during that tournament, I pulled into the parking lot, parked in between a couple trucks, which is normal here in Utah. We've got a lot of fucking trucks around. Walked into the clubhouse to, you know, sign in and pay and all of that, and came back out to get on the golf cart. Got the golf cart, was driving it over to my car, and I saw that the spot on the passenger side of my car was now empty. And I was like, oh, sweet. I can just pull in there to put the cart cover on the cart because it's windy and rainy and cold. And so I brought a cart cover and a heater, and we're going to be nice and comfortable. And I didn't even think about, like, why would somebody have parked there and then left? So I'm struggling in the wind to put the cart cover on the cart, get that taken care of, and I'm just about to put my bag on the cart, my golf bag on the cart, when some guy came sauntering up to me and he says, oh, hey, yeah, man, I got to apologize and confess. And I was like,
the Lord spoke to me.
I was like, oh, well, yeah, I thought he was going to make some jokey reference to my license plate after he said he's going to confess. Right. And I was like, oh yeah, what's that? And he said, I was parked next to you and I got out, you know, opened my truck door and the wind tore it out of my hands and it smacked into the side of your car and caused
which is totally believable in that situation.
Oh yeah. And totally understandable. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, really? Where? And he's like, oh, right here. You can see on the rear wheel well here, banged into it and caused a dent. And I was like, oh man, that sucks. And he's like, yeah, I'm really sorry. But I just came over to apologize and, you know, what do you want to do now? And I was like, well, your insurance card would be good. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. And he says, yeah, let me get that for you. I don't actually have a card. I've got to look it up on my phone. And so he's fumbling around doing that. Same here. And I was like, oh, you know, while you're doing that, I'm going to put my bag on the cart and everything. So he finally pulls it up and he's like, yeah, sorry. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry for you. Like that's a shit way to start your day, man. I'm sorry that happened. Like totally understandable. And he's like, well, I think the worst part, like, I just feel really guilty that, like, I did it and then I left. Like, I wasn't gonna, like, I feel guilty that I just did it and then left. And apparently, like, he did it, got back in his truck, backed out and went and moved his truck somewhere else. And then I'm guessing that he looked at the clubhouse and saw its array of cameras on top of the clubhouse pointed at the parking lot and then realized that I'm in a newer car that probably has cameras all over it. There are other people in the parking lot that may have seen him do all of this. Like cameras and the presence of other people, I think, are what motivated him to come and tell me more than anything else. Like had there been no cameras and we're at 10, 15 years ago, I don't think he would have said anything.
Yeah.
I think it
was. So you're saying Jesus is a camera.
I think, I think that he was convinced that he would have been caught or found out one way or another and that it was best to just come and face the music. But then I spent like a month working with him to try to take it into, you know, he contacted me again and he's like, hey, if you wouldn't mind, I was hoping that we could just take this to like see if we can take it to like a dent pro or something that they can do like a paintless dent repair and, you know, without having to file insurance. And I was just like, sure.
Listen, bud.
I just said, you know, that's fine with me. If you want to put in the legwork to find a place, like I live in Murray. So, and he lives somewhere up near Ogden. I said, if you want to find some place here locally, I'd be happy to take it to him for an estimate. But, you know, I don't want to have to do that legwork myself. So he's like, yeah, I totally understand. I'll do that. So he did. He found a place. I took a bunch of pictures, sent them to him. He sent them to this dent pro guy, got an estimate from him. And apparently he could have done it for, you know, like a couple $100 to get the dent out. And the guy said, oh yeah, I could get that out easily. It'd look fine. The problem was that it's not just a dent. There was also some paint removal. And he said, you know, I can fix it up. You know, the dent will be totally gone. You won't ever tell. But as far as like the missing paint, the only thing that I could do would be to use touch-up paint. And then it's not going to look the same way it was before. And I was like,
no.
Yeah. And he's like, and the dent pro guy said, you know, and this being a very nice, very expensive car, I'm sure that you don't want it to look like there's touch-up paint on it. And I was like, yeah, that's not anything I'm interested in. And he said, okay, yeah, well, then, you know, I would definitely recommend that you take it to a body shop. So then I had to call around and find body shops. Took it into a body shop for an estimate. They estimated it was like $950 or something for just this little dent and a little bit of paint, but it is what it is. And because they've got to pull all the parts off, they've got to get a new part, they've got to paint it, then they've got to also strip the paint off the door, blend the paint into the door.
You got to match it because your car isn't brand new, so it's got a little bit of fade to it probably. So if you do the same exact factory paint on it, it's going to look slightly different.
And then on top of all of that, I also have PPF all over it. So they would have to take the PPF, replace that. And it just the numbers kept stacking up and stacking up. I contacted the guy again, gave him the estimate, and said, you know, this is what the estimate came in at. I can send you the full printout or whatever. And the next day he came back and he's like, yeah, I think we're probably just going to have to end up filing it with my insurance. And I said, okay,
Well,
do you want me to contact them or do you want to call and talk to them first? And he's like, you know, I'm trying to be just as nice as I can. Yeah. What would be the best for you? And he said, if you don't mind, I'll call them first. Yeah, then it was, okay, but now I'm going to be going on a 2-week long road trip. I can't, I don't want to drop off my car and have to drive around a rental or whatever. We've already planned this out. So I'll have to take it into the shop a couple weeks afterward. So finally set all of that for today to take in and drop off the car. And just for that one little thing there, it's going to take 2 weeks. They've got to order in all of the parts. They're going to try to get out the dent in the one part. If that won't work, they've got to order more parts. Then they've got to reassemble all of it. They've got to strip the paint off the door. They've got to repaint. They've got to let it cure. They've got to test it. They've got to blend it into the other door. They've got to replace the PPF. All of that. It's going to be 2 weeks. So now I have a GMC Terrain. Oh, maybe it's a GMC Terrain. I think that's what it's called. Okay.
That makes more sense. I know that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a decent little vehicle, but it's a rental.
It's not yours.
Yeah. It's a rental, so it's a little beat up and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles. And driving it just after I dropped off my car and then I went and filled up the rental because it only had half a tank, and driving it around, I was struck by how much I have come to rely on the technology in my car. This car that I have as a rental doesn't have that. When I turn on the turn signal, I have a image or video displayed in dash of my blind spot or where I plan to be. My car is just so cool. All of the technology in it. I had to actually turn and look to see if the lane was clear. I don't have to do that in my car. All kinds of cool shit that I'm going to miss for the next couple weeks, but it'll make it that much sweeter when I finally get Jenny back.
One thing that was really nice. I went on a trip to England, to Cambridge back in September.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, fancy pants. And,
it was to go to a writing course at a nearby Air Force installation. And I have never driven on the wrong side of the road before.
Oh yeah.
Which was delightful. And there are little things that you don't think about, like the fact that because you're in the seat that you normally associate with being the passenger seat, when you back up into a parking spot, your position relative to the car is very different and your muscle memory helps you not at all. Right. Or your sense of where you are in relation to curbs is radically different. One of my coworkers who is not good at this kind of thing got his rental vehicle and within two blocks popped a tire by running into a curb.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. On the passenger side, which in England is the side that we would associate with the driver's side. Right. And he just ran up against the side of the road that way. But the rental car that I had this fantastic lane sensing function, and it would yell at me anytime I started to get out of my lanes. And that is the sole reason I did not have any problems when I was in England.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be missing our car for sure. And when I took it into the collision place, like, everybody came out to look at it. They're like, oh, wow, yeah. We haven't seen many of these in here. Well, they said they hadn't seen any at the shop and that they hadn't seen many on the roads, but they were all just like, man, that's a good-looking car. That's so cool. And I told them at the collision place that I have nightmares. I've had multiple nightmares of something bad happening to the car. In all of them, it's that Tracy was driving and did something like radically weird or wild. It's one of those things that, like, if somebody were to tell you, oh yeah, I was driving and I did this, you'd turn to him and go, what the fuck were you thinking? And she did that in the car and it damaged it somehow. And so then I wake up in a panic, like, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. The car's still in the driveway. It's fine. It's not broken. And then spent the rest of the day, like, mildly resenting what a shitty driver I think she is in my dreams.
The funny thing to me, hearing this whole story about, like, all of the stuff involved in this car and the fact that you have bad dreams about something happening to this car is, like, I intentionally bought a piece of shit French convertible when I moved here, knowing that Italians will just, like, fucking Mad Max their way across the roads. And my driving strategy depends on the fact that for the average driver, it will be more expensive for them than for me if we bump into each other. So people literally avoid my car. That's weird wild. Shit. I have nightmares that I, like, brought a cell phone into a skiff, or that, like, I'm in my senior year of college and I just completely neglected to take, like, biology 101 and have to make it up in 2 weeks or shit like that.
This is Sarah Ponte Rivera with the Satanic Temple's Gray Faction. You can learn more about Gray Faction at grayfaction.org or find us on our social media account on Twitter and Facebook. And you are listening to the Godless Revolution.
Don't you sometimes feel sad about breaking all these myths apart?
No, because I think it's some myths are deserve to be broken apart out of respect for the human intellect. That no, when you're writhing on the ground and froth is coming out of your mouth, you're having an epileptic seizure. You have not been invaded by the devil. We got this one figured out, okay?
If you have questions, comments, concerns, compliments, corrections, criticisms, or concepts for content, contact the show via email at godlessrevolution@gmail.com, by text or voicemail at 330-81-REBEL, or Twitter the twatter at TGR Podcast. Thank you!
Well, we've been bullshitting for quite a while. What was it that you were going to say, Ryan?
Well, I mean, my first question for you was, I mean, this last week you were out there to see the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. It was so cool.
Did you see Iowas?
Iowas?
Yeah, because apparently...
Ayahuasca?
True thing was supposed to happen here.
Hmm.
In 1904, on April 8th, 1904, Aleister Crowley had contacted a demonic entity called Iowas. And, hear me out here, true shit, CERN, the particle collider in Europe, was going to be operating on the same day. Therefore, CERN was trying to contact the same demonic entity that Aleister Crowley contacted in 1904.
Oh.
But we were saved because the lizard people operating HARP didn't want the competition and brought clouds in, which stopped some people from seeing the eclipse.
It could have been.
And the Jewish space lasers hurt some people's eyes when they were trying to look at it.
I mean, basically, I just got some conspiracy theories here for you. That's the easy one.
Uh-huh.
Then we go to our much esteemed political figures that we are supposed to love and look up to make good decisions for this country, like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
What did RFK Jr. have to say about...
Actually, I didn't pull any up from RFK, but Marjorie Taylor Greene brought this up. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes, eclipses, and many other things coming. It's time to pray and listen.
Is that in the movie theater that they're coming, or?
No, she spelled it right. C-O-M.
Oh, okay. And many Not other T-U-M. Things coming. What the fuck does she, can she predict the weather now? Can she predict earthquakes, hurricanes, tidal waves? Like, what the fuck is she talking about?
The thing is I think she's probably also talking about the locusts, which are predictable.
Uh-huh.
And the
cicada
eclipse,
emerging.
Is, yeah. Yeah. And the eclipse, which is predictable.
Uh-huh.
Earthquakes. I think I saw a statistic that says there's like 40 earthquakes on Earth a day.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing out of the ordinary. But now that this eclipse is going to head towards New York, and there was an earthquake there, and there's going to be cicadas coming out of their birth on the East Coast. East Coast. It's
Dude, did you hear about coming. The zombie cicadas?
Zombie cicadas?
No.
So this is a real thing. So apparently, there's two broods of cicadas that are like coming out of the ground this year to breed. Normally, it's like one brood of cicadas, and they awaken, if you will, every it's like so in many, prime number increments, so that they don't interfere with each other's genetics. It's like a natural survival mechanism kind of deal, so that if like an infection hits one brood of cicadas, it only affects that brood and all the other cicadas will be kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, one, there's going to be two broods like kind of coming up at the same time. Two, there's a shit you not. It is a sexually transmitted disease that's a fungus that causes the cicadas to act in a zombie-like fashion. But instead of like trying to eat the brains of each other, they fuck until they die until their penis falls off. Yeah. What?
I mean, I think both would happen right around the same time.
Well, no, they're insects. They can survive that pretty easily. I shit you not, man. Look it up. The fucking zombie cicadas. It's the craziest thing.
I've not Google heard it. That. They'll fuck until they die or their penis falls off.
Yes.
Is it the same bacteria that take over ants?
Fungus.
And fungus. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't. Okay. I don't know. I don't think so, because I don't think the ants fuck themselves to death. The ants.
No, because that one, it takes over them, and it keeps them alive long enough for that fungus to genetically reproduce inside the ant, and then it kills it and just spawns.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Different. I think it'd have to be a different thing than that to operate in a different species. But yes, zombie cicadas, STDs.
That's new to me. I've never heard that.
You know who might know a lot about that?
Hmm.
This guy I heard about on X, formerly known as Twitter, who held an event. His name is, it's slipping off my tongue. Alex Jones.
Oh.
No,
And he held an event.
Turn the friggin' frogs gay.
See, if he knows about that, he's got to know about the zombie cicadas. And he held an event recently on X called What the Globalists Have Planned for the Imminent Total Solar Eclipse.
What is it?
Well, he had this guest on called Andrew Meyer, and he told viewers that the eclipse falls on a date in the Hebrew calendar where new energy can be pushed into the coming years.
What?
And Mr. Jones.
What the fuck does that even, new energy can be pushed into the coming years? What does that,
You just got to enlighten yourself, Dan.
Okay.
You got to get out of your box and think outside the box.
I'm a light worker, and I focus on people's chakras and their auras and massaging them both at the same time. And I just wish everybody peace. Namaste.
But according to Alex Jones, Mr. Meyer, he is a fucking expert on this shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I take everything he says with the largest grain of salt. Says the globalists, obviously, they want to make a big push for evil, negative energy. They want to inject the seed of every new year with negative energy because that's what they harvest.
They harvest negative energy?
Apparently.
Psychic vampires, right?
This is just part of the globalists' nefarious plans. So the globalists, they believe that every event has special power. So obviously, a totally predictable eclipse has special power for the Illuminati.
It sounds like Alex Jones believes that things have special powers.
Yeah,
It sounds like a blood libel with a couple steps, with a couple extra steps. Mm-hmm. Like this is adrenochrome by way of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And, but did you also hear the other thing that's going on? Not only are the globalists involved, Joe Biden is involved.
Oh, of course.
Joe Biden got the State Department to hold a bunch of drills on that day.
Uh-huh. The State Department was drilling.
Drilling. Practicing their drills for if Trump gets elected president, they can institute martial law.
Oh. Black helicopters, yeah?
Yep. Yep. So they were practicing that. Didn't you see all the towns that had a state of emergency in the line of the eclipse? That
was
all
practice. Texas. Yeah, where we were in Texas, yep. they declared a state of emergency. We're shutting everything down.
That was practice.
Uh huh.
That was practice for when Biden wins and Trump loses. That was practice to take over martial law,
dude. And there were so many police everywhere. It's like they thought that, I don't know, people would turn into zombies or start looting and shooting. Like so, the eclipse happens and people would think it's a free for all to do whatever the fuck they wanted.
So I can see in that case, it's completely justifiable. Your small communities are getting ready to have an injection of a lot of people on the roads.
Uh-huh.
Something that those communities are not normally used to handling.
Uh-huh.
Something the infrastructure in the area is not used to.
Uh-huh.
So instituting a state of emergency basically gives the state the right to say, hey, all police cops, you're kind of on duty for this. Like funding is available. We need you here. We no longer have a town of 1,000. We have now reached a town of 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to handle this. Not as like a crime thing, but just an influx of people into an area that doesn't normally have that influx of people.
Yeah, I guess I can see that because there were like they had closed off a bunch of different roads to change the flow of traffic
and
route people in and out and stuff like that. But like it just seemed, I don't know, it seemed like overkill in some instances. The hotel we were staying at, the one night I counted 4 cop cars in the parking lot. The next night I counted 8, and I'm sure that they had been that they traveled to the area and were staying at the hotel to help increase the police presence there and help.
Could the influx of police presence be like, this is a small town near the border. We have a lot of crime that we don't like to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And we want to protect you from our local populace that might be on meth and that want to steal your shit.
It was wild as we were driving around everywhere, like because we're visiting these southern states, right? Or border states, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas.
How many checkpoints did you go through?
Dude, so many.
Yeah.
So many. Like it got to be where it was like, what the fuck is, and it was weird because the checkpoints, like you have the freeway or the highway that runs next to it where everybody could just be zooming down the road. And they had instead diverted all traffic into the checkpoint. Every single fucking vehicle had to go through the checkpoint. And so we waited in line at one place for, shit, I want to say like 45 minutes just trying to get through the checkpoint. And then we get up to the checkpoint. I roll down the window. They look in and see some fat old white dude with his wife. And they're like,
keep going.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
like that's it. Oh, do you have anybody else with you? Nope. All right. On your way. Okay, cool. That's great. Like, yeah, it was just wild seeing how people in that area have to live day to day and what they do to cope with shit. But I mentioned Namaste and I can't remember where. Oh, it was because we were listening to David Sedaris. Tracy and I are big David Sedaris fans. People in the audience, if you don't know who David Sedaris is, you should change that because he's very, very funny writer, humorist, and has a lot of great stories. And so we usually listen to books of his while we're on long road trips. And one of the stories that he told in one of the books that we were listening to, he's got a house somewhere along the beach that he has named the C-section. because it's right on the ocean. They had a hurricane coming through, and you know, the local police, the local constabulary had warned people that they needed to evacuate. It wasn't a mandatory evacuation. I guess it was voluntary. And he's like, and then I learned that, you know, the word namaste has a different meaning depending on where you are, because when you would ask a lot of these people if they were going to evacuate, most of them would say namaste. Namaste.
Oh, I did not see a dad joke coming.
I laughed about that for days on the trip. Namaste.
Did you hear? I had to go in and get my tires rotated. And with that came along, they needed to like fill them up again. And they wanted to charge me $200 for filling up my tires.
Okay.
Inflation, am I right?
I was waiting for it.
I knew there was a joke buried in there coming. I couldn't see the contours of it to figure out that it was going to be about inflation. But yes, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Nice. We have run out of time for this episode. I want to say real quickly in passing that today was the first day of Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if it's going good for anyone.
Apparently there was some point during the day in which he fell asleep in court, which, you know, is pretty fun and somewhat. It makes it even more fun that he refers to Joe Biden as Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe.
When
drowsy Don, low energy.
Yeah, when he's falling asleep. The prosecution pressed Judge Mershon to find Donald Trump in violation on three separate instances of violating his gag order. Last I heard, Mershon has not ruled on that and plans to do so within the next couple of days or within the week. They still had not started jury selection.
Well, they did start jury selection today.
Well, that was the plan. Last I heard, they'd had a pool of more than 500 people there and had not actually begun jury selection because Trump's team had done all kinds of shit. What were you gonna say?
So I've seen that they had started jury selection, but a vast majority had already been like booted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lawfare did a really good episode on this. Let me find it real quick. The Lawfare podcast did a show, Everything You Need to Know Heading Into the Trump Trial in New York. It came out today. Yesterday. It depends because I'm in Italy. So basically, there's such a huge jurist pool that in a exception to policy, the judge basically said that like anybody in the pool who they themselves believes that they might have a conflict of interest can self-select and they're automatically out.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, the judge would like ask a few questions as to whether or not they're actually like not eligible to be on the jury. But with the size of the pool, he's just like letting them self-select out.
Oh, yeah. Basically said that if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be. You can just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what else was I going to say? Oh, that apparently the defense team, Donald Trump's defense team, has not turned over a bunch of stuff to the prosecuting team. And
discovery?
Yeah, they haven't turned over all of their discovery materials to the prosecutors. And we're saying that they needed additional time because there was just, you know, the amount of things that they had to go through was so voluminous that it would take them longer to get it to them. And he said, well, he basically said that I told you, you know, days or weeks ago that I didn't want to have any more frivolous filings from you guys until we came into court. You disregarded that, continued to send me a bunch of frivolous things. So you've had plenty of time to do this. You now have 24 hours to get this stuff over to the prosecutors, or it will just be disallowed. Like, you have to give them everything that you plan to present and do, or I just will disallow it. You've got 24 hours. You've had plenty of time. This is your time limit. So It sounds like he's going to be running a very tight ship, which is good. But Trump, of course, will push that as far as he can. And we talked pre-show about this will be mentally damaging to him, and I'm here for it. Like, I can hardly fucking wait until he just absolutely melts down. It's going to be a sight to behold, and I look forward to it very much. But that does wrap things up for us this evening. Before we go, I want to make sure that we thank our Patreon supporters, because y'all keep the show going. That would be...
Just Anti-Pro-Fascist.
Build a Skeptic Workshop.
Kevin Scheel.
Crucify the like button. Leave a review on iTunes and rate the show 5 times a day towards Celia Gray.
Steve Kuno.
Sinead Duffy.
Tiffany Hudson.
John McCullough.
Ollie Olson.
Vanessa.
Two Skeptical Chaps.
Steven Andrus.
Savid Akuna.
Corey Ebert.
Martina Fern.
Not Franz Kafka.
Jonathan.
Error 404, God Not Found.
Marvin Draken.
Don't Be a Richard.
Mackenzie Peterson.
All Hail, Peneth Buttra.
Jeremy Goodson.
Utah Outcasts.
Wesley Aaron.
Hersinian.
Amber Krellen.
Sarah Segovia.
Theodore Sellen.
Janet Uter.
Purple Dragon.
And Tim Jacobson.
Yay! Thank you all very much. If you would like to become a Patreon patron, you can do so very easily by going to patreon.com/godlessrevolution, where you can contribute as little as $1 per episode. We don't charge monthly. We do it per episode because there are some times when we don't get episodes out because we've got other stuff going on. But then if you do become a Patreon patron, you get extra things like the show before anybody else. You get extended issues or episodes of the show. You get bonus episodes every now and then. You get clips from the cutting room floor. You get extended outtakes. You get a song at the end of the show. All kinds of fun stuff and the knowledge that you help keep it going. And we appreciate that very, very much. Until next time, I am going to go. I gotta show Tracy how to use all the new shit in this other car. Mm.
Sarah said she has some delicious wine upstairs she wants me to try.
Ooh.
I am going to sleep.
That's fucking boring.
Yeah, basic. I hope you sleep well. Thank you guys very much. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Likewise.
Bye, y'all.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Jesus, let me start that again. I didn't mean to start that out with a Peter Brady. Hello and welcome to the Godless Revolution.
The thing I hate is if I go to their app, it tells me I'm getting over 1 gig of internet speed. But if I turn my Wi-Fi, my cellular data off, and I'm strictly on Wi-Fi, it's telling me I'm getting like 2 meg right now.
Jesus Christ.
Have you reset your router? And
I reset my router. I did a reset from me manually resetting it, me sending a reset from fucking Comcast, me completely restarting computers and everything a half hour before even coming down here for starting. Da, 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 da. So I'm not 100% sure if it's this shitty desktop I have.
Oh. You were good for a minute, and now you're freezing and sounding robotic.
My laptop. My internet. Fucking guaranteed.
Fun.
Comcast tells me I'm getting 1.1 gig, and I'm like, no, the fuck I'm not. Because I couldn't even use the internet on my phone. I had to turn the internet off to get my phone to fucking work. I think fucked up more typed.
I heard fucked up more typed. Yeah.
Ryan, you're chopping like Jackie Chan trying to keep an artifact away from goons.